Lord. We're speaking deliverance in our bodies. Hallelujah. Heal relationships. Give us a tongue that will speak life. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. We thank you right now. Glory to God for the manifestation of your word in our lives. In Jesus' name. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
God is good.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to get started here. I just want to tell you again how important it is for you to ask God for wisdom.
Amen.
When you find how important wisdom is, you'll find out you don't have a financial problem. It's a wisdom problem.
Yes.
When you find out how significant wisdom is and you ask God for wisdom, you don't have to try to be famous.
Yes.
It's a wisdom problem.
Right.
Amen. When it comes to your enemy, praise God. You don't have to ask God to destroy your enemy. It's a wisdom problem.
Amen.
And when it comes to your understanding, it's a wisdom problem. And we read in a few weeks ago how important wisdom was when Solomon prayed and asked God for wisdom. He didn't ask God, hallelujah, for fame and for fortune. And he didn't ask him to make his name great. He asked God to give him wisdom, give him an understanding heart, that he'll be able to discern between what's good and what's evil. That ought to be your prayer. Because if you don't, praise God, understand what's good and evil, you'll be calling good evil and evil good. I'm going somewhere here. Stay with me. And the thing is, it's so important, because today in my meditation, the Lord just opened up my understanding again and through his word. And I tell you this all the time. I've told you this before, so I'm going to reiterate this. When you pray and ask God for something, he can use you, praise God, in answering that prayer.
Amen. You're right.
So don't think you just said something popcorn and get up and just go on. No, if you ask God for something, you ought to be willing for God to use you in answering that prayer.
Right.
Y'all don't hear what I'm saying here. If there's a loved one, you want God, Lord, save my loved one, can let it start with you.
Right.
Let it start with you.
Right.
Hallelujah. Can God use you? Hallelujah. So that's what you got to remember, how important it is when you ask God for something. And the thing is, if you believe and if you have an understanding heart, I hope you're writing these things down, praise God, because you and I can only retain so much. If you believe what I'm saying, then you're going to be more, listen to this, aware of what you say when you pray.
Amen.
When you pray, you ought to believe what you're praying. And then look for God to do it.
Amen.
I'm going to show you something. I'm not just making this stuff up. How important it is, because God will answer so fast, praise God, you wonder, my God. Lord, I just asked you that before I could even get up off my knees.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
You're right.
That meant you applied faith to it.
Right.
Hallelujah. And so it means that, again, I keep saying to you, when you pray, whether you're standing, the position isn't as important your body as it is your heart.
Come on now.
Because you may not have any legs to bow down.
Praise God.
So the position of your heart. Humble yourself. You need to hear, praise God, what the Spirit is saying. Ask God. That's one of your prayers ought to be. Ask God to awaken your ears each morning so you can hear what he's saying to you. And then give you the tongue of the learned. So if you got to speak, you can speak with the tongue of the learned. You find that in Isaiah chapter 50. Start somewhere around verse 4, 5, 6, somewhere on down there. And you read it, you'll see it. But that's important, that when you pray again, if you ask God for something in your prayer life, hallelujah, then remember God can use you.
Amen.
And ask him that prayer. And sometimes we forget that, and we would rather go and ask someone else to pray for us. But it does not negate the fact that God can still use you.
Yes, he can.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Remember, it said touch and agree.
Yes,
and that wasn't, praise God, just with a prayer meeting.
Amen.
I want you to know that. In that passage of scripture in the book of Matthew chapter 18, sometimes we take scripture out of context and we use that and we try to make it fit into what we want it to say. That had to do with church discipline. Because if you, praise God, need God for something, I don't have to find three of you if I'm somewhere alone. Here I am, praise God, somewhere, amen, on I-75. I don't have a cell phone. You know, we just got cell phone. You mean, how am I going to get two or three people to agree with me and I need some help out here? If you got the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost, there you got all you need. My God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. And amen. And your record is on high. He knows you. In fact, if you go take your Bible, go with me to Romans chapter 8. Let me show you something. And then I'm going to take you back. Romans chapter 8. And just remember, I'll take you to Genesis. Romans chapter 8. Praise God. Let me show you something here. In Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. Glory to God. I say glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Speak, Lord. Speak, Jesus. Let flesh be quiet before you. Give us an understanding heart. Open our ears. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then open our eyes. Go to Romans. I want to show you some Romans chapter 8. How important it is, how we sometimes we take scripture and we try to make it say what we've said, and all understanding doesn't come from the pulpit. Because you got people in the pulpit, praise God, and they're not bringing sense to the word. And that's what the Bible calls it. Amen. You have to, this two times as I've read, maybe more, but I know two times God tells us what we ought to study for. One is to be quiet. First Thessalonians, praise God, I believe it's chapter 2 somewhere, or 4, might be 4 and 11. And the other is study to show yourself approved unto God. A woman that needed not what? Be ashamed. Stop right there. If you don't study, you're going to be ashamed. You can't take what's on a law and make it fit in on a grace. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Because that's why people become confused. They wonder well, what this meant. Listen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good.
Yes, He is.
God is good. As you start getting to the Word of God, you'll see that now, Lord, I thank you for opening the eyes of my understanding and causing me to behold the wondrous thing out of your law. For the entry of your word bringeth life and give understanding to the simple. Hello. Simple means those that are dull in their thinking. You could not even be a good student in school, but if you get this word down in you,
hallelujah,
it will open up your understanding. It'll help you, praise God, grasp and bring it. It'll bring you to a place, hallelujah, where you have wisdom. Word of the Lord.
Yes, hallelujah.
Romans chapter 8.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you.
Romans chapter 8.
My God.
Let me show you how important something is.
Yes.
In this particular passage, we're going to see there are three groans. Three groans. Amen. Three groans. Let me just show you this. Oh, I'm going to try to get through this. Verse 15 said, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Listen at that. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear is a spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7. And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and that of a what? Sound mind. The word sound means healthy. And that's when you go to a doctor, praise God, or you go, amen, to a physician, and they may give you a report when they read your chart, and God talks to somebody. My God, don't let fear grip you.
Come on now.
That's right.
Don't let fear grip you. Hallelujah. He doesn't want us to walk around with the spirit of fear. Am I making sense? Glory to God. And this, and it is a spirit. And spirit you can't cry out.
Come on now.
You can't pray them out. They have to be cast out.
Glory to God.
So you said, I renounce the spirit of fear. You can't have my mind. Hallelujah. Go back. Let me show you this. This is now around verse 15. Again. And the Lord filled me with his spirit. Hallelujah. He was my witness. He was my witness because when I opened my mouth And I opened my mouth, not because somebody was telling me to say thank you, Jesus, so fast till my tongue got tired. I was in my house and I was asking God, I'm doing what you say do. Where are you? And he came in, he took control of my tongue, and I started crying, Abba, Father. Didn't even know it was in the Bible. And Abba, praise God, I was saying, Papa. And I haven't been the same since. That's why I press in. Because God put a witness down in my spirit. When nobody there telling me to say this, and then they tell me, you got it. I didn't have to have nobody tell me I got it. Because I'm so analytical, I would have asked them, how you know? I need proof. But God gave me a witness in my spirit. Not only here, but also in the book of Galatians. I cried, Abba, Father. Papa, Daddy. That's what you ask for. Ask God. God, look, Lord, you give me a witness. Because if someone else does it, then that means that you'll say, well, they told me I got it. Listen, I don't need they to tell me. I know what I have is real. Because he gave it to me. And I bless him for it. And let me tell you this. You've got to make it sure.
Yes.
Don't be ashamed. Don't be full of pride. You could be at home and say, Lord, I want to make my calling and my election sure. Fill me with your will. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your way. Fill me with your knowledge. Fill me with your wisdom. Fill me with your understanding. Ask him to do it. In the heart of my steps. In your word. And let not iniquity have dominion over me. It's the word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. That's what we want. Amen. That's the witness. Now go back. There are three times you're going to see growing. I'm going to go back to 15. We'll read that again and we'll go to the end of it. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry what? Look at that. Spirit of adoption.
My God, thank you.
That means I've been put in the family. I got all rights and privilege as anybody here.
Yes.
God is my father.
Thank you.
I call him Papa.
Yes. Yes.
Daddy. Abba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what else he said. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. That's your witness.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's your witness.
Yes.
Then he goes on the way to say that we are the children of God. That's your witness. And if the children, then heirs. Let me stop here. And God saved me, and I was reading that. I said, wow, there go my desire to be a millionaire. Because right here it said that I don't. Watch this. You're going to see. This supersede being a millionaire.
Yeah, that's right.
Keep reading. He said, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ.
Glory.
If so be that we suffer with him, we want to wipe that part out, that we may be also glorified together. Heirs.
Thank you, Jesus.
With God. The joint heirs. With whom? Christ. An heir is someone who inherits. My children are my heirs.
Yes.
Even if they didn't work a lick, they are my heirs. What are you leaving your heir? The Bible said a good man leaving inheritance to his children.
That's right.
That's your grandchildren. Don't make me go back and show you that. I know you already know. This is the book.
Yes.
When I saw that, it helps me to make plans. Now stay with me because I'm going to show you this what's in the book. To make plans.
Yes.
It is never too late to start doing what's right.
Amen. Amen.
That's where wisdom come in at.
Yes, right.
Hallelujah. And there are folks just tiptoeing through the tulips.
My God.
That's all right. But guess who else coming through the tulips? You got bees. They fly.
Right.
And if you got a honeybee, he gonna go and he gonna make some what? Honey. And God sent them into a land that was flowing with milk and honey. But if you want the milk, you got to milk the cow.
Come on now.
If you want the honey, you got to move the bee out the way. You got to do something.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you believe him, you've got to do something. So your planning ought to be to leave an inheritance to my children. Hallelujah. I just took God at his word. I came to this city, praise God, hallelujah. I don't know if I had a suitcase. I think my stuff might have, I don't know what I had. I don't remember. But it's been a long time ago. But I came here poor. Hallelujah. And material things. Glory to God. But I thank God for a spiritual inheritance.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For a spiritual inheritance.
Amen.
God is faithful.
Yes,
and I thank him for it too. Just be rich in faith.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And not only that, you see, don't, and I'm going to show you in the book. The Bible doesn't teach you to strive to get wealth. Because when you get it, you won't sleep good.
Right.
Oh, God. What you want to be rich in faith.
Amen.
And you want wisdom.
Thank you, Lord.
To know how to keep it.
Right.
When you get it.
Come on now.
Hallelujah. Now I'm talking good here.
Yes, you are.
Go back, let me show you something. Cry, Abba Father. Join heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him.
My God.
Do you know what Jesus is now? In heaven. Streets of gold. Right hand of God. Listen. But he went through something to get there.
Yes, he did. Thank you.
I hear people all the time, girl, they trying to crucify me. Well, listen. You just don't know. Well, they just talk about it. Every time I turn around, they crucify me. Well, listen. Good news. After the crucifixion, they got to bury you, but after the burial, there's a resurrection. Crucifixion, praise God. The crucifixion, praise God, is part of the process.
Amen.
I'm waiting on the resurrection.
Yes.
Go back. Watch this. Let me show you what's in the book. Glory to God. So he goes on the word to say around verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, I mean right now, they are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Suffering and glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. What you're going through, praise God, is nothing compared to what you got coming. My God, from glory.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. And if you're not in the book, amen, this is your will.
Yes, it is.
You need to know, what do I have coming to me? A will comes into effect when the person that wrote it dies.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And sometimes they have what they call executors. So you got a will. But it's long as the person, and I can show you all this in the word, as long as the person, praise God, who wrote the will is alive, it is ineffective.
Yes.
But when that person died, everybody want to know, where the will? Where's the will? It is here.
Thank you, Lord.
For those that are spirit filled.
Thank you, Lord.
Now it does not negate the fact that you also need a will for your earthly goods, but I'm talking about spiritual.
Thank you, Jesus.
And even your earthly good is included in this.
You're right.
Wisdom.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you don't have to scheme and swindle and lie and cheat and, praise God, rub shoulders and all that stuff. You follow the principles in this book. Praise God. Praise God. Follow the principles. Go back. Let me show you something. He says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Listen, everything is waiting. Because the earth, praise God, when man sinned, you know, the whole earth went under a curse. When Christ came, according to the book of Galatians, he came to reverse the curse. Now you still have a curse. Land and earth, because if you go out there now to pick a rose, I mean, they're not blooming now, but a rose gonna still have what on it? A thorn.
Come on now.
I can take you back and show you that we didn't see the thorns and the thistles until the curse.
Amen.
And even the earth itself was tilted. But the day gonna come when everything gonna be put back in line. I'm trying to help somebody. Go back. Watch this. Go back to verse 20. It said, for the earnest expectation. Well, this is verse 20. For the creature was made subject to what? Vanity. Not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of whom? Everything that we're surrounded by. Praise God. Remember, God gave man dominion. And when man lost that dominion, the tigers, now, they bite. One just killed a girl the other day. Adam was in the Garden of Eden with all of these animals. Are you hearing me? God had given him dominion. Hallelujah. But when man sinned, everything went in reverse. But the day gonna come when the curse is reversed and has already taken place when Christ died. Hold this right quick and run right quick to the book of Galatians. Let me just show you this. So if you're taking notes, put that down. That's important. I want to show you this while we're going through the
ship up for by.
God is a good God. Let me just show you this. Why it's so important to know that you're under grace. Go to Galatians chapter 3. All this is new. Oh, I'm skipping about for the sake of
God. That part you're looking for, if they have it,
let me show you something. Let's start at verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evidence for the just shall live by what? That's what you're living by, faith. Watch this. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the what? Curse. There's a curse that goes along with the law.
Yes, it
is. When you try to put people back under the law, you're putting them in bondage. And you're putting them back under a curse. And Christ has already, praise God, this Bible said, it has done what? He has redeemed us from the curse. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. Listen, what does he say? Glory to God. Being made a curse for us. Watch this. Verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. What was Christ? He was made what?
A curse.
A curse for whom?
For us.
We just can't just act like,
come on now.
Oh, praise the Lord. When you think about what he has done, when he went to Calvary, and Marvin, come here. Let me show you something. Go over there. Put your back to that wall and stretch your hand out like you're on a cross.
My God.
Oh, throw that wall on over there because you go way over there. That's right. Jesus died way back then. Look, on the cross. Here we are, way over here. So everything, praise God, hallelujah, that we had done was there to the cross before you came on the scene. The next time you go to thinking about, praise God, trying to live your life through your flesh, you live it through the flesh, through faith. Think about, go back, look at the cross and say, God gave all of my sins and put them on Christ way back young.
Yes, Lord.
Way back young. And you weren't even on the scene. And you sit here like, what?
Jesus.
Oh my God. Christ on the cross. All of the curse and the ordinances was nailed to the cross. They call it the substitutionary death. He died for you.
Yes,
that's your substitute.
Thank you, Jesus.
We should have been on the cross.
Yes.
He committed no sin.
My God.
He became sin. When? Way back young. That's when it was manifest. But before the foundation of the world, Jesus had already died.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Come on, Christ.
Thank
Come on out off the cross, Christ.
My God.
Because you got some folks still can't see this thing.
If
you can see this thing, praise God, you ought to be on your feet rejoicing. I see feet hot about that's good tea, God. And I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. If you get the revelation of who God is and what he's done, my God, it makes a difference. It almost sounds like it's too good to be true, but it's true anyhow. How could a good God save a wicked wretch like me? Do you know what I've done? Some stuff we don't want to remember what we've done and who we did it with. But God did it. He died for that.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless you, God.
You are not too dirty or wicked that God can't clean you.
Thank you, Lord.
But God don't know what I'm saying.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. And you're not so clean that you don't need your cleansing.
Come on, somebody.
Hallelujah. Now that's right.
Thank you,
Lord. You're not so dirty, he can't clean you. But you're not so clean, praise God.
Jesus.
That you don't need to be clean.
Come on now. Teach it.
He died.
Yes, he did.
He died.
Glory to God.
Way back yonder. Where? On Calvary.
Yes. My God.
You were even on the scene. But he died for us. Let's go back. Oh my God. Listen. Take right here for a minute.
My God.
Galatians chapter 3. Chapter 3. My page, I got so excited here on my page. But anyway, I got you. Listen. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for whom? Made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed. For everyone that what? Wait a minute. Did you hang?
No.
Did I hang?
No.
Well, who hung on the tree for you?
Jesus.
That means he was what? Cursed. Because cursed is everyone that does what?
Hang
on a tree.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
He took the curse.
Yes, he did.
Thank you, Lord.
Go back. This is what else he said. Lord, I bless you.
Thank you.
Galatians chapter 3. And he got a reason. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what?
Faith. Thank you, Lord.
That's how you receive it. By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to even please God. You got to take it by faith. Listen, not by works, lest any man should boast. If you try to do it, well, how many push-ups you have to do to get there? Listen, it's not like having muscles. And you do your push-ups every day, and for your biceps and triceps, you put faith in God. That's what he wants to give you. Praise God. You obtain mercy. And he gives wisdom. But you got to ask for it. That's what the Bible said. He gives wisdom when you ask for it. James chapter 1. If any man lack wisdom, let him what? Ask. So folks, he said, how you get wisdom? Ask for it. Thank you, Jesus. You ask for it. That's how simple it is. That's the Bible talking about, the simplicity of the gospel. We try to make it hard. We try to make somebody, you got to do this. And here we are. My God. Put your faith. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what he requires. Let me go back and show you something. My God, you just got in. Come on. Missed some good. Listen. At the beginning. Let me ask you this. Let me stop and ask you this. If you're writing, I hope you're writing. Hope you got a notepad and you put something down. Because I'm going to ask you three questions. I want you to give me the answer. Okay? Answer number one. All right. What is more wicked than Satan? That's the first question. Give me an answer. What is more wicked than Satan? Put your answer down. Just put your answer down. I ain't say nothing. Write your answer, class. Hallelujah. What is wiser than God? That's number two. Put your hands up. And the third one, all you ought to be answered is, what is it that you, if you don't eat, you'll die? Put it down. What is it that if you don't eat it, you'll die? Don't just write it down. Don't just write what you think. It's a little 3-quiz test. Now, everybody got an answer. Let's see what you got. Number one, question number one. Who is more wicked? And by the way, I'll let you rate your own paper. Who is more wicked than Satan? Somebody said nothing. Number two. Who is more wiser than God? Nothing. What if you, could you eat? You don't eat, you'll die. Let me just give you a little answer to the riddle. All three answers should have been nothing. See how simple it was? See how simple that was? Who's more wiser than God? Who is it? Anybody? Anything? Nothing. Who's more wicked than the devil? Nothing. And if you don't eat, you got it. If you don't eat nothing, you're going to die. Nothing. Simple. Hallelujah. Some of you were with me a few weeks ago. How many was not with me a few weeks ago when I told you to draw me a straight line? If you weren't with me, did I ever give you that instruction? Raise your hand. Were you here when I asked you to do that? If you were not here, raise your hand. Okay. Well, I want you to do it. I want you to draw me a straight line. Right now, on your paper, just draw a straight line. Everybody who was not here, draw me a straight line. Brother man. And on the straight line, draw me a crooked line. Yeah, underneath there, draw a crooked line. First, you're going to draw me what?
Straight line.
And underneath there, you're going to draw what?
Crooked line.
Did you do it yet, everybody? Raise your hand again, those of you who never did this assignment before. Okay. Quite a few hands. All right. Now what I did when I did this assignment, I had them to come up so I could see it. So let me see what you got. I'll ask you to draw me a straight line, a quick line. So let me take a look at your paper. Come on. Let me just look. You wait till you see. Hurry up. Let me see. Then you can go back to your seat. Okay, that's good. If I had a red pen, I'd give you an A.
Let's
see what you got. That's good. Excellent.
I see that.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. But yeah, straight line and crooked line. Wait. Okay, fine. Where yours at?
Okay.
He said, come on, Dr. D. That's fine. Well, that's fine. Okay, let me tell you what I saw. Not one person who came up here to me had the same crooked line. Everybody had their own concept of a crooked line. But everybody who came up to me and I looked at it, all of your straight lines was the same. They might not have been going in the same direction, but they all were straight and didn't have no crooks in it. Which let me know, you know what it is to live straight. You know what it is to walk straight. But you also know what it is to walk crooked. So I leave you with this tonight. Be straight. Glory to God. Walk upright. Just that simple. Because you're living in a crooked world. We ought to be straight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go back. Let me show you this. Go back to Rome. Go back to Rome. You got to see this. If you just come in now, praise God, we're around Romans chapter 21. Chapter 8. I'm sorry. Yeah, 8. Verse 21. I'm sorry. That's right. All right. He said, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Everything around us, praise God. That's why I had you over in Galatians to show you that Christ came to reverse the what?
Curse.
The curse. So everything is under bondage. Everything is under the curse. But it says this. Watch this. For we know that the whole creation does what?
Groaneth.
And travaileth in pain together until now. All creation groaneth. THB continuously. All creation. Now this is the book. I'm just sharing the book with you. This is what else he said. Paul writes to the church of Rome. And not only they, but ourselves. Let's add this. Also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves do what? That's why you say, Jesus, help me. You didn't get it. Well, if you can get up, praise God, without a groan, out of your bed, off of your seat, if you can get up, every time you move around, you can do your push-up, do all this, and there are no groans, then you ought to be happy about it. Groaning. Creation. Now let's go back again. Watch this now. Watch this. So far, verse 22, it says, the whole what groan?
The whole creation.
Whole creation. So I hope you got that. I'm showing you the whole creation. Then if you look at verse 23, who else groan? We groan. You ought to say, I groan.
I groan.
Is it anybody here doesn't groan? If you don't groan, keep living. Just keep living. You're going to say, right there. Rub that one. So the whole creation is groaning. You know how I know? Because out there now, praise God, you see there aren't any leaves on most of the trees unless it's an evergreen. It's dull and dreary because it's in a season where you have grown. What season is that? Winter. Equate that with us.
Come on now.
You go through season. In the summertime, it's what kind of weather? It's hot. Stay with me. We go through season. In your youth, your summer season, you're hot. But if you go to springtime, Lord have mercy, you can jump and hop in springtime. And you keep living, you're going to fall.
Come on now.
You go to pull up your stock and only discover you don't have any on. Fall. But if you keep living, you're going to go into what?
Winter.
And each one of the seasons carried with it something that can compare to us. In our own bodies, because we go through seasons, cycles. That's why you have to remember your creator in the days of your youth, because some evil days are coming. The almond tree, your hair turned white. You get some help, but it'll turn white. It'll turn white. Glory to God. Amen. But it also talks about the grinders. Shall be few. The grinders are your teeth. It talks about the music become low. The music means your voice that you sing soprano is going to come down. You got it. These seasons. The keepers of the house. Your leg. It's your tremble. That's in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It said the whole creation groans. Then it said we groan. Keep reading, show you something.
verse 24. Well, no, verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our what?
Right.
Now, let me tell you something. When Christ died, I know you know all of this. Why I'm teaching so hard, because that's why you're not reacting, because you know this. But I have to review. When Christ died, you had your spirit is what was redeemed. You got a new nature. He filled you with the Holy Spirit if you have him within you. But your body is waiting to be redeemed. When God saved you, you're in the same body. I'll tell you what the book said. You got the same body, and one day your body is going to be redeemed. How you know? This same book teaches. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's right. Somebody's praying with me. Somebody's praying with me.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you for it.
Glory to God. My God. Did not our hearts burn within as she spoke the word of God? As she Jacoba Soraba Dihe Shabadoko Ba Seba Shepoba. Eba so rabba shikala buduku. Rabba shikala budukuba. Rabba shikala ba. This is the kind of word. This is the kind of word that you have to listen to over and over again. You hear me? Just to get it into your spirit. You know, just don't be satisfied with one time. Glory to God. No, don't be satisfied with one time. Keep listening to the word of God and get it into your spirit. Rabba dukuba sebi. Over and over again. Let the Lord speak to you so you can get it, so your faith can increase. And I'm learning that more and more myself, especially in times that we're in now, especially in times that we got going on now. You want to get things, you want to get the word of God in your spirit over and over again, because it's amazing how the TikToks, the Facebooks, the Twitters, the CNNs, the ESPNs, MSNBCs, whatever you listen to, we get that in our spirit every day, and we get those reports and the news from them. Stop letting them be your source. Let the Word of God be your main source of the news and the Word of the day. Anything else is secondary. So let that get. So now your faith doesn't stand on what they said on the television screen. Your faith won't stand in what they said and this, that, and the other. Your faith will stand in the word of God. God bless you and keep you. We'll be back again with more.